This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanik.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Monday.
I don't know anymore what's happening on a Monday.
What do you mean?
Well, I keep waiting for the hot 5 at 5. And I don't know.
Well, it's only 5:06, to be fair.
Yeah, normally we build up.
We're about
five
minutes away.
But, when it hits 5:11 and we haven't started the hot 5 at 5, I'm going to feel very uncomfortable.
Well, listen, I do feel a little strange blowing it out right after the death of Jeff Austin.
You feel some remorse? I feel like that's a shot across the bow of the SS Austin.
It could be. First of all, he doesn't care.
And it also wasn't related to that. It was because it was sponsored and now it's not.
Yeah,
so we don't have to have it for that reason.
The sponsor, look, I could see him being like, what the hell, I leave? And then all of a sudden they blow that out. Because that was his idea, the hot five. Well, he likes sellable elements.
And there is an element to that. We couldn't resell the hot five at five?
So Victor Rico's is no longer the sponsor of it. Yeah. And when I heard that news, I looked at Cooley and I said, what do you think of the hot five at five?
Yeah.
And he was like, no segment has killed more fun on the station than the Hot 5 at 5.
Well, that says something, because I would figured Ryan Cooley would be like, you shut up, because we're going to resell the Hot 5 at 5.
No, he loves ITN.
Look at that.
And so now...
Well, this is a massive upset. I feel like it's an insult to Jeff Austin, but also a massive upset that
if you want the Hot 5 at 5, don't retire!
So now is the 5 o'clock... What if we just renamed it again? Remember the old Power Hour?
Yeah.
Like, if someone wants to sponsor, they're like, hey, I want to sponsor the Hot 5 at 5. Now you just sponsor the Power Hour.
Sponsor Big Sook's hat or something. I don't know. There's a lot of things to sponsor. Hey, the Nazi Power Hour. Where do I find
that?
We don't have to do crappy, like...
By the way, we should not call this headline. The Nazi Power Hour. That would be uncomfortable.
No. You're right.
Don't do that.
Cooley was like, yeah, I'm good with it. And then I asked Dusty, because he's our new leader, and he's like, yeah, I don't know. He's like, whatever. Nobody's attached to the Hot 5. And then... We workshopped a little bit. We came on the air and we talked about it. And a lot of people text in because the listeners, look, if it's a super popular segment,
sure. We're
not going to kill it.
Yeah.
But the listeners were texting and they were like, it's kind of redundant. Buck already does a sports snort there. We're always late to it. I mean, it's like, it's run its course. It's time to move on. This is Primetime 2.0.
It's seen better days.
So it's out.
Okay.
And
it's going to be awkward for a while.
In place of it, we will do nothing.
All right.
So. We thought about doing a not 5 at 5 of like dumb stories, but we'd rather do nothing.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah,
I mean, this show really specializes in nothing.
We're just going to do our normal stuff.
There's not a lot of structure to this, so, you know.
But in honor, what? It's me, Rob. Big Sook's back. He's right over there.
Right here.
But in honor.
Not named Pope.
Of the Hot 5 at 5, I do want to ask you five questions about things that you miss. This would be a good way to, one, eulogize the Hot 5 at 5,
yeah,
but also hear your take on some things that we didn't get to hear your take on.
Yeah, I've had a lot of hot takes.
And, well, I bet. You left for the draft,
I've
dude.
Had no one to spew them to.
Well, you have friends. Italians.
They don't want to hear my takes.
People on your Turkish airliner. They'd want to hear your...
There was...
Should have got up with a megaphone and...
Well, I sat next to two, a mom and the mother-in-law who were coming back from Nepal, because we flew to Istanbul.
Oh, wow.
From... Yeah, that's where was our connecting flight. And so they were asking me about Italy, and there was a... There was a Muslim gentleman sitting across the way from me with two women that were all covered in the burqas, and he was none too happy with me talking about the Vatican. Dude was just giving me the death stare. In fact, it got a little awkward. I thought he was gonna say something. I was like, not Catholic. I'm just kind of a cool experience. Don't think he was a big fan of the Catholic Church.
Well,
yeah,
whatever.
That's what I said.
You're in a public.
I kind of want to be like, dude, just mind your own business.
Yeah, dude. Put in your ear pods.
Yeah, quit giving me the frowning of a lifetime, my man.
Well, anyway, what was I going to tell you?
I don't know. You were going to ask me questions about things I missed. And
well, you left for the draft.
I did leave for the draft. I mean, I didn't have a choice. It wasn't my trip. I was just kind of.
I think you did have a choice.
I didn't.
That said,
it was someone else's trip that I was piggybacking on. I can't be like, hey, you need to move that. That is the first draft I've missed, though, in 21 years.
I bet it's not.
It is. That's the first NFL draft I've missed.
I don't even know you anymore. Mm. We needed you.
Sorry.
We had to have Nimick in here, for God's sakes.
he's the draft guy.
Oh, he loves it. That dude. Dude, do you know how many bets he had on the NBA draft?
Not
or
NBA,
I mean the
NFL
draft.
Well, he tells me about them all. Like, he texts me, and it's a thing. Dude, that guy is like, that's like the Ryan Buckley when it comes to the.
He had like 80 bets.
Yeah.
And he says he's already placed some for next year because he bets on, like, for example, Arch Manning is the odds-on favorite to be the number one pick.
Yeah.
And Nemec is always like, he's not going to be
not
the number
one. Yeah.
Same thing with Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
He's like, he might not even go to the NFL.
Yeah.
So he bets on guys, like, he bets them now instead of until the word gets out.
Yeah,
you know,
he does it all the time. Yeah, he's always got an NFL draft. That is his, the NFL draft is his,
dude,
it's his moment.
He was... Trust me, during the breaks, like, he wouldn't shut up about it. It was unbelievable.
He goes way deeper than I could imagine.
So I think he bet on, like, Drew Aller, maybe number one pick, and then, like, Nussmeier. So he sprinkles, you know, different guys that he thinks could, based on his...
Yeah, he likes value.
Based on how he evaluates the time, because he does watch these guys
closely.
Yes,
he does.
He then places... Anyway, he had, like, 70 or 80 bets on the stupid NFL draft. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think he was at 80 plus.
Like, how do you even track all that?
Oh, believe me, he's shown me.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Well, that's like Buckley. Whenever we talk to Buckley at any given time, Buckley's got like 9 different angles going.
Well, you didn't have 80 bets on the NFL draft, did
no,
you?
No, I had closer to 15.
Yeah, that's more Buckley.
Yeah.
Right there. Manageable. Anyway.
But Nemec didn't have 36 superfectas, so.
That's true.
I bet he did.
You think so?
Probably.
Maybe he did.
Probably placed him last year. He went out to the track and...
He was in the stable when the horses were being sired by the Secretary of Defense.
I don't know anyone that in my life that loves something more than Nemec loves the NFL draft.
You know, it was actually a really good story of he told me off the air. He should tell it on the air. I don't know if he has, but how he got into player evaluation is actually a really cool story. It goes all the way back to his childhood.
I don't know if I know this one.
Yeah, and I won't do it any justice, so I'll let him tell it. But it's you know, it started with him very young, and it started with him as a bonding experience with his dad, which how any great thing starts.
That's cool.
And so he's really good at it.
He
loves that. Anyway, when we come back, Big Sook gets 5 hard hitting questions.
You know. Was this the Craig Kilborn used to do this, right?
It makes
he would do
me
like
sad.
He would do the
I don't know.
Kilborn.
Whatever
had that.
Happened to Kilby?
I loved.
Where's Kilby?
Dude, the Craig Kilborn show back in the day, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to that, but He was phenomenal. I loved that thing.
Is he just sitting on a pile of money somewhere?
I don't know, dude. He just disappeared. I think the last thing I remember him doing is he was like the jerk boyfriend in Old School. That's the last thing I
remember. Oh, yeah.
He had a bit part. It's the last thing I remember him
doing. Oh, here it is. He has a podcast.
Okay.
It's called The Life Gorgeous.
Oh, boy.
Since 2022. It's probably pretty good. He's an interesting guy.
But he is. I was a big Craig Kilborn fan.
Better show, The Craig Kilborn Show, or Late with Conan O'Brien?
Boy, that's tough.
Because I tell you what, there was a moment in time where Conan...
Yeah.
At the midnight show or the 11 o'clock show, whichever one it was.
It was the late
It was
show.
The midnight show.
Yeah.
After Letterman or whatever. Yeah. Whatever channel he was on. Well, I don't remember.
It was after Leno.
Yeah. That show was cooking.
Yes. It was 12:30 when it came on.
Yeah.
And when he would come on, the late show with Conan O'Brien is as good as late night television has ever been.
Yeah, it was good.
But then when it
changed.
It changed.
I think he lost some of his writers.
But when he had like Masturbating Bear and they would do in the year 2000.
Well, he had the Triumph.
Yeah. Dude, that's rarefied air.
So better show. Conan, Kilby.
I love Kilby, but no.
Pete Conan.
Pete Conan.
Yeah.
Might be my favorite late night talk show host ever.
Legit.
Yes.
All right. Five questions for Sook. His draft thoughts next on The Fan.
You know.
We got a problematic racist drop from me.
That was,
of course, I was talking about wine.
Woo.
But problematic out of context.
Glad to see that.
What?
You've thrown a couple of the whites in there to go along with mine.
Here's another thing that's happened to me as I get older. I'm moving more into the whites.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
I mean, talking about wine.
You know, I've always preferred the whites.
Yeah. I just have always preferred the whites.
I mean, what are you going to do?
God. Make America great, bitch.
I'm sorry.
Five questions for Big Sook about what he missed.
Yeah.
Most pertaining to the draft. The first question is, of course, what did you think of the big story? And that is Shedeur Sanders dropping all the way to the fifth round.
So I think some of this is really blown out of proportion by the media. I think a lot of the media members are trying to carry water for Shedeur Sanders and his dad. I think there's a lot of pearl clutching going on. And the truth of the matter is, people tried to warn you that he was not a first-round talent. And when you look at NFL drafts over the last couple of years, if you don't go in the first round, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that are selected high in the second round. It's like when you look at where starting quarterbacks come from, it is the first round. And if you're not deemed that, yeah, we may take some flyers. But I mean, I think in last year's draft, after the 37th pick, there was like 100 and something selections before you got to the next one. So the truth of the matter is, Shedeur Sanders was not the talent that people were making him out to be. He absolutely bombed the interview process. They completely overplayed their hand. And there were only probably about seven teams that were really in the market for a quarterback. And the truth of the matter is that people need to realize is that if you aren't viewed as a first-round talent, no one views you as a starting quarterback. No one is drafting a quarterback, especially in the third and fourth round. Dylan Gabriel in no way figures to be Cleveland's starting quarterback. You are not being drafted to be the starter. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the Shedeur Sanders things, if you don't view him as a starting quarterback, and clearly no one did, no one wants to take on the pain in the ass that is going to be that story for you to be a backup. It's like where the Cam Newton thing. Right? Or even Tim Tebow. When you aren't viewed as a franchise quarterback and you are coming in with that sort of entitlement and the social media thing and the legendary, and you're telling, have you seen some of the stories coming out of his interviews at the NFL Combine? I mean, so all this crap about racism or the NFL sending a message because they're trying to put the Sanders family in their place, dude, stop carrying the water for him. That was a family and a player that thought that they were way better, and the media carried the weight on that. And the truth of the matter is, there was nothing to this other than he was not considered an elite talent, and people tried to warn you of that. And once it got past about the second round, that's when it really got into the territory of people are not going to deal with that crap for someone that they viewed as a backup quarterback. And every other narrative that people are trying to spin on that, I don't know what to tell you. You've got an agenda or your head's up your ass. Ryan Clark, I'm looking right at you.
So Joey was on Friday, and he was saying, I mean, all of that to some extent, but he was saying that something I hadn't heard many people say, and he's like, he's kind of right when you think about it. The confluence of circumstances, like you said, you kind of alluded to, was saying like there were only seven teams that needed a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Well, once you get through the, I think his point was, once you get, they got through the first couple rounds, mm-hmm. he was going to continue to fall because everybody knew that he wouldn't be selected.
No.
Because the teams that needed a quarterback, like, or still maybe would draft a quarterback, like the Browns, there were very few of them. They have already either already taken one,
yep.
or if they didn't get him there, they were going to get him way later, and they knew that.
Yeah.
And so there was really no opportunity to take him past. Generally speaking, there weren't that many opportunities to take him past, like, you know, early second round, which, like you said, most quarterbacks don't go there anyway.
Yeah, there's always a big gap. Once you get past the first four or five quarterbacks, there's usually a big gap because the NFL knows when you look at who the starting quarterbacks are in the NFL, if you look at ones that have been drafted outside of the first round that have been successful, let's say over the last 10 years, there's only a handful of them. And some of those are just dumb luck, the Brock Purdy thing, right? But, you know, or you fall backwards into a Dak Prescott who ended up in an ideal situation in Dallas. And some people may even question, what is the ceiling on a player like Brock Purdy or Dak? But the truth of the matter is you don't find these guys in the second and third round. And so there's really not a lot of people taking flyers on those. And
well, not only that, but then you factor in all yes. the troublesome interviews. You factor in his dad's situation, which yes. I guarantee you teams are like, dude, the second the starting quarterback plays bad or the second he has a problem, his dad, you know, like is he calling for his dad to be yeah. the coach?
Well, and as Nemec said, the physical stuff, he's undersized. Yes, he doesn't yes. have a big arm. It's like the name is bigger than the actual talent
Thank
that's
you.
There.
And that's where I think it's like, that's what I was asking Joey about on Friday. I'm like, isn't it some of this just the fact that the league, you're not going to fool them.
No.
Like, dude, if they'll take a flyer, they do it all the time. They'll reach for quarterbacks.
Yes.
But if every single team in the league doesn't, with one quarterback, doesn't that tell you that none of them were fooled?
See, Jalen Milroe, who is as raw a quarterback prospect as you will see, the Seahawks took a flyer on him because the upside is tremendous. There's that idea, if you can figure out how to get him to play quarterback, you have something. Shedeur Sanders is an undersized kid that with bad pocket presence that's accurate, but just he will. It's the Dylan Gabriel thing. Dylan Gabriel will never be a star in this league. Maybe Dylan Gabriel can be a guy that's a quality backup or a guy that can get you a split. And that's the truth of the matter is Shedeur Sanders is closer to Dylan Gabriel than he is to a legitimate franchise quarterback.
Well, hence both fifth round picks.
Well, Gabriel went third. Gabriel. And
wait, what? He went to the third round?
To the same team. Cleveland took Dylan Gabriel in the third and Sanders in the fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were both in the same round.
But it's the same. That's the
Milroe
same sort
and
of thing.
Gabriel were same
and
round.
You took Dylan Gabriel because you thought Gabriel, they're the same sort of player and Gabriel is more steady that doesn't come with the crap that goes along with it. So to say that every team passed on him again, it's disingenuous because a lot of teams didn't need a quarterback and you're not going to draft that level of distraction when you don't need one. And when you hear the stories about him going in and bombing interviews on purpose, when teams tell him, hey, learn our playbook, and him not doing it and being disinterested, telling teams that they need to change their culture, Deion Sanders saying that there is a handful of teams that we won't allow him to go to, you couldn't have put up more red flags to the NFL that says this isn't worth dealing with. And by the way, like the racism thing, Cam Ward was the number one pick, for God's sakes. Your MVPs the last handful of years, a couple of them, you know, black quarterbacks. That is such a bad tire take. 20 years ago, sure.
Well, and even Milroe went two rounds before Shedeur.
Thank you. It's just we do this every year, maybe not to this level, but we always try to make someone out to be something that the NFL tells you they are not. And the one thing about the NFL that is tried and true, I don't care how big of a pain in the ass you are or what color your skin is, if you can play, teams will bend over backwards to accommodate you. If you don't have that level of ability, teams are not going to put up with your crap. And this was the confluence of circumstances of you weren't that good, you had all the hype, and you like the smell of your own brand, and the NFL didn't think that you can be a big-time starting quarterback.
Yeah, to me, the more interesting combo around him would be if he were really, really talented.
Yes.
Like, if that would be interesting. That's when you start, like, talking about, okay, where does he go? Will a team?
And he could have. He would have fallen because Johnny Manziel had a ton of these red flags. But Manziel was also a really, really talented player. But where did Manziel fell to the back of the first round? You know, it's like...
And he wasn't even that. He didn't...
He was a truly dynamic playmaker, but he was raw and didn't play on schedule and had a lot of...
There were a lot of problems with his game, yes. though, and evidenced by the fact he's out of the league. Although,
yeah.
I don't know. Is a sober Johnny Manziel still in the league?
Yes.
You think so? Yeah. You think he was that good?
He was really talented.
Okay.
Yeah.
Way more so than Sanders.
Yes.
You're saying.
If he tuned up his game, he could have been
He would have been a better version of Baker Mayfield.
I was just going to say Baker. Oh, yep.
Okay.
But he just didn't.
Question number two, how do you feel about the Seahawks grabbing Jalen Milroe?
I don't love it.
Because I know you don't like him.
I don't. I do not like quarterback prospects like this at all. I just think the Seahawks had enough holes where you're drafting him. If you're drafting someone in that, I still think you needed roster players. But I get it. I get why you do it. I think third round, right, for Milroe.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you know that is a 3 to 4 year project. But if I watched him play at Alabama a bunch, and he is not a good quarterback. He is a physical freak, but he is not a good quarterback. And I would ask the question, when is the last time that a physical freak that was bad, and he is a bad quarterback, succeeded? Because you can bring up Josh Allen. Josh Allen was not a bad quarterback. Josh Allen was a very raw quarterback, but Josh Allen was not a bad quarterback. But we try to do this, and I'm still waiting for one to hit. And I said this about Anthony Richardson. I'll say it about Milroe. I said it about Jake Locker. I don't get it, but at that point, maybe the athletic profile is just so good, and someone will always see something and say, if we can just clean it up, and as long as you sit him and he is not part of your immediate future, I understand. I just don't like, that's the one position where I don't like betting on athletes, because it doesn't work. It's not a thing, but we keep trying to make it one.
A couple of the scouts were saying he's the best runner of the football they've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
And that's better than Lamar Jackson. So maybe that right there is like, okay, well, do we see things we can work with throwing the ball or being a quarterback?
Maybe you put him in some short yardage situations and some packages, but if you watched him play at Alabama, my God, he has a long way to go.
Oh, yeah.
With mechanics and all that.
But If you, I don't know. I see why I think that's all about who drafts him.
Yeah.
I think when it's the Arizona Cardinals, like Buck brought up when we were talking about it with Nemec that day, you're like, oh, he's, you know, whatever.
The other thing is that,
but
like,
when it's a program like Seattle and McDonald, who's been with Lamar, and I know he's a defensive coordinator, but you know what I mean?
Sure.
I think you think differently. It'd be like if the freaking Niners took him.
Yeah.
If the Niners took him, he'd be like, oh, watch out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Same player. But if a bad team takes him, they're like, oh, whatever.
Sure.
Seattle, I think, falls more into the Niner category.
We do this whenever we draft quarterbacks that aren't ready to play. We always end up trying to make them play beforehand. I'll say this. Milroe could be one of those guys that we see like 5 years down the road on his third team and all of a sudden something clicks. Because again,
a la Geno.
All the physical tools are there, but again, watch him play at Alabama, and there's just moments you're like, what is he doing?
Okay, you have homework for the next question.
Okay.
Okay, in honor of the dead hot 5 at 5, these are 5 questions for Big Sook about things he missed. You have to look up Gremlin University.
Gremlin University?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I've never heard of this.
Well, exactly. But you will.
Okay.
And that will be part of our next seggy. When we return, here's Buck.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
All right, we're talking with Big Sook here. He's on his show.
Talking to me on the show.
Leafs score again.
2-0. Suck it, Panthers. Buck knows how much.
Speaking of atmosphere, they're going nuts in Toronto.
God, this is why I want a Canadian team.
They have good fans in Toronto, don't they? They
have good fans in Canada.
Good fans in Toronto?
Amazing fans.
Yeah.
And they just have... They've just have had nothing to cheer for so many years. And I just want a Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. And the Leafs, it would be amazing if Toronto wins this.
Well, we're talking with Big Sook here because he missed a lot of cool stuff while he was away.
Yeah.
So these are five questions for Big Sook about what he missed. We are on, I think we've only asked you two.
Two.
Are you outraged by Goober's prank calling athletes at the draft?
Yeah, it's, am I outraged? No, but I think it's, it's poor form, but I mean, Ulbrich got fined $100,000 for his first off, the fact that his crappy kid is stealing numbers off his dad's iPod and then crank calling people.
I think it was his iPad.
His iPad. Yeah. What did I say? iPod.
Well, you said iPod.
It
and
could
I...
be his iPod. Fifth generation, you know, that 112.
Is the iPod still a thing?
I don't think so. But
no, it's everyone's iPhone now.
I love the old iPod. You have like a bunch of ex-roommates' libraries on there. You have like 35,000 songs. Let's go. Yeah, I mean, look, it's really poor, but nothing surprises me anymore. $100,000? I would like to hear Ulbrich's conversation with his son.
Oh, I know.
When his son cost him $100,000.
You know, we had one fan personality who was quite upset about the prank calls at the draft.
And who was that?
Well, why don't you take a guess?
Was that
take
like
a stab.
Was that a Swaggard thing?
No.
No?
Not Swaggy Poops.
I don't know. Who was all up in arms? Like, was someone want to do like jail time? I mean, it's poor form, but who cares?
Not happy.
Who cares?
What? Not happy.
What?
Ho, ho, that, ho.
I thought he should be fired.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he was livid.
Oh, for who should be fired?
Ulbrich shouldn't have his DC job in Atlanta anymore.
Why? He didn't do it?
Because his kid shouldn't be able to do that.
Oh, yeah, he just, you know, Schulte, he gets a bee in his bonnet about something, and you just can't talk him off of it.
Look, a bunch of them got prank called. It wasn't just Sanders. Sanders just looked the poorest because he was falling. I'm sure this happens every year. Again, kids are dip S's. They're going to do it. Crank calls are going to happen. It's poor form. It's a bad look. But my God, if you think that's the worst thing that happened to Shedeur Sanders on draft day, I got some news.
I got to tell you, you and I are pretty similar on this. I came on, I was like, look, I would never do something like that.
No.
But I actually kind of admire the balls to do it.
It does take some
and
balls.
And they filmed it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like
how dumb can you be?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, is that balls or is that just stupid?
Well, I think it's balls to do it. It's really dumb to film it because now everyone sees who you are and they put two and two together. I don't know if Ulbrich would have gotten caught if they didn't film that. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Because everyone had the screen grab of the kid's face and sitting next to the dude doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what I would do if my son did that and it cost me $100,000.
Yeah.
I mean,
We went with the disappointed chat. It was so bad that you've got to flip it on this, because he expects you to be outraged,
yeah,
and like probably like throw things. I think you got to flip the script on it and go, I'm just really disappointed.
I think I would flip the script and go, hey, by the way, you know, your next year of tuition payments, you might want to take out some student loans, because I'm not paying those. I really think I would. I'd be like, yeah, because I'm sure that kid's not paying for his own school. And I'd be like, you're gonna
my money means nothing to you. Yeah, why don't you use your money?
You're gonna take out some loans because your scholarship, the Olberg scholarship, just ran out. And good luck with the rest of that. And that, to me, that's a fair. Maybe I wouldn't yell. I would just call him and do that and be like, yeah, that's seems about right.
Two queries remain for you, oh Jace.
I should have known it was Schultzy.
So, dude.
Poor form on me for
yeah.
Not
I was teeing you up for that, and you. You missed it.
Yeah, I missed that one.
You swung and missed.
Sorry, I was caught up in this Maple Leafs game.
What are your thoughts on Gremlin University?
So, I was trying to find it. No, it's just this AAU team?
Yeah, so they're an AAU team. You didn't watch
it. Have you watched their highlights?
Yeah, you got to watch the vids.
I was on YouTube and was looking at it. As far as I can tell, it's just a bunch of douchey AAU kids that, like, do bits.
Yeah, they're grade A trolls.
Yeah, they're just trolls.
Yeah, and their coach is named Not Air Jordan or Not So Air Jordan or something like that.
Like, I couldn't accept that what I was Googling was, what is Gremlin University?
No, that's what it is.
Okay.
It's an AAU team. AAU and I think team. They're like eighth graders. Like, they're not old.
Yeah, there's a white kid with dreadlocks on here. And they're wearing like
mullet dreads.
Yeah, they're wearing like old Toronto Raptors kind of jerseys.
So if you haven't seen it.
Someone's putting a trash can on him.
The white kid with mullet dreads.
Yeah.
Kind of humps the basketball before he drains a three.
Yeah.
And then he crab walks back on defense.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Which is the more outlandish move, the humping of the basketball or the crab walk back on defense?
I'm going to go crab walk on
that. So why?
And then a kid like, I think he dunks or gets a layup or something, and he grabs somebody's phone out of the stands and starts doing selfies on his way back down the court. So they're grade A trolls, and everyone hates them. Yeah. But the problem is they're really good. Mm. And this coach is like trying to capitalize on it. He's selling merch, and he's got like 150,000 followers on Instagram. Yeah. It's like this whole bit that they're doing.
Yeah.
I when we talked about this while you were away, I thought there is nothing in the world Suk will hate more than Gremlin University.
No, this is everything that's wrong with society. Like, and
that's exactly what I thought you would say.
Yeah, it's everything that's wrong, because it just, the fact that we are encouraging this and that these kids are going to monetize it, this is everything that is wrong. This is what leads to people prank calling and costing their dad $100,000. And there was nothing. How are these are underage kids.
Like I said, I think they're eighth graders.
Okay. Well, then
they may be a little older. They look a little older.
But. Yeah. There's nothing I would love to see more than to someone just, I would pay to watch someone beat them. Like if they did this, got you. And someone just repeatedly punched them in the face, I would pay good money for that.
Oh, not like beat them on the court.
No. I want to physically beat them up.
Hmm.
So, but yes, as someone said, humans are doomed. This is the downfall of society.
And finally, last question. This is five questions for Big Suk about what he missed. Who is this?
Only you.
That's Sam Elliott.
Who is this?
Only you.
Well, that's not Sam Elliott, but it's someone doing Sam Elliott.
You don't think that's Sam Elliott?
No, I don't. I think that's someone doing you. Someone's doing a Sam Elliott version.
Only you. Only you. Only you.
The first one, Sam.
Only you. Only you.
Wing and a foul.
Oh, sorry,
Rick. Who's the second one?
Rick Riz. Who is it?
Only you.
One more time.
Only you.
No, that's Sam.
All right, you're on it.
I can tell the real Sam Elliott.
You're on it.
Only you.
Who is that?
I love Sam. I don't know. I can't place that.
Only you.
Hold on. Let's give him a longer.
Okay. You'll get it.
We have. I gotta find that page.
Only you.
I mean, it's a nice attempt, but
it's
pretty
good.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Oh, that's Patrick Harris.
Patrick Harris.
Okay.
Your fill-in.
My fill-in.
Well, it was like a day. Yeah, or two days.
Yeah.
Only you.
Only you.
We just thought the only you part sounded exactly like
it's a good
Sam.
It's a good take.
And we thought we maybe were able to fill you with it, but we were not.
No. I'm
the big brain on you.
I'm a Sam Elliott aficionado.
Only
so.
You. Only
it's good.
You.
It's a good attempt.
I mean, that's pretty close.
There's a lot of people that it was like doing Christopher Walken. There's a lot of people that can do a good Christopher Walken, but it's not Christopher Walken.
Only you.
Only you.
You ever heard like Kevin Spacey's Christopher, or not Kevin Spacey, Kevin Pollak does a phenomenal Christopher Walken.
I don't think there's a lot of people that can do Sam Elliott because you have to have.
There also is a Kevin Spacey one too, where he does Kevin Spacey does Christopher Walken auditioning for Star Wars on SNL or something.
Yeah, it's close. I like it. Well, Harris has the pipes. If we're going just on as a total station best voice, it's P. Harris
for sure.
Yeah, it's not close.
Yeah,
he has the best radio voice of anyone here. Yeah, it comes from years of chain smoking, but it's fantastic. I mean, it just sounds great.
And there you have five questions for Big Sook about what he missed. He's back.
Hold on, everybody.
Now you know what he thinks.
See, I wish you wouldn't have brought up the Gremlin University thing, because now it just makes me want to punch. Now I'm punching an eighth grader in the face, and I don't want
to
do that.
Yeah, but I like to get you violent.
Yeah. I've tried to put that part of me behind, but every now and then it comes creeping out.
Now, the offshoot of that is...
More kids, by the way. Let me just say... Our country, if you want to make our country great again, more people should be punched in the face. We are living in a society now where we have grown up with no consequences, and there should be consequences. There really should be, especially for men. Like, there should be a line that if you cross, you know you're about to take an ass whooping, and I think we would be better off for it. And Gremlin University is one of those. By the way, Maple Leafs just scored again.
My God, what is it, 10-0?
Well, they just gave one up on the penalty and they took it right
back.
And
every time they show this crowd, and the 10,000 people outside.
The outside party is just as lit as the in the arena people. It's great.
God, give me the Maple Leafs in my veins right now. Let's go.
They kept showing that when the Raps, didn't the Raps make a run a couple years ago?
Yeah, they call that place Jurassic Park.
Yeah. It's just, it's amazing.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what the offshoot of Gremlin University is next. They are calling it the biggest fashion statement in all of sports.
I'm sure I'll love this too.
Yeah, you're going to love this too.
Yeah.
And then if we have time, I've got fun with audio today, but
we'll see.
We'll see. The club coming up soon as well on The Fan.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm going to push fun with the sports audio to tomorrow. We have very little time left before we move on to the club, so I'm just going to
call
an
audible. Not time for fun with audio.
Not this audio. Not this audio. We'll get that tomorrow. We'll talk about, we didn't talk about the Nuggies and the Thunder.
No, Thunder. The best technical foul I've ever seen.
Yeah.
The Russell Westbrook team. That was greatness. Calling your own tactical foul, love it. Beautiful troll.
So they're calling it. So this goes. This is what we talked about while you were gone. We had a segment on Gremlin University.
Yeah,
and that led into a segment on the biggest fashion show in sports now.
Oh, because the Met Gala is going on right now, and all the sports figures are out at that. And
not LeBron.
His wife's
there.
His wife's there though,
holding down the castle. According to LeBron.
No, the latest fashion show and the biggest fashion show in all sports is Little League Baseball.
What?
Because the kids are all wearing...
Oh, they got the oven mitts and...
Yeah, all the...
Arm sleeves.
All the stuff. Yeah. The helmets, the cleats, the socks, the arm sleeves, the pants.
The Rizzler has made its way into to Little League.
And it is a thing. Oh, it's been written up, and I'm sure some people listening have kids that... in fact, they text in when we talked about this last week, but it's very real. If you have kids that are in Little League Baseball, it's not all the kids. I mean, some of them don't give a rip.
But yeah, I've known that that's a thing for the last handful of years. They do little bits on it now where they're doing memes where it's like every AAU or whatever, every travel team baseball player. And you know, he's got like a beach towel hanging from his belt, and he's got all the eye black on. The Bryce Harper broification. A lot of bros.
Harper was quoted in the story that I read on it, and because he's like one of the guys they emulate.
Yeah, he's one of the bros.
And he's like, he tries not to match everything because the kids don't like things to match, you know, color-wise. Because he does bits, mm-hmm. Harper does, if you notice.
Yeah, he's always wearing headbands.
And yeah, he has to be more subtle about it because MLB won't let you do so much. It's like the glove that was the ice cream cone glove that...
Ellie De La Cruz?
No, it was Jazz Chisholm.
Oh, yeah, he does a bunch of stuff with cleats and belts and...
He tried to do a glove, this was a couple years ago, that looked like a melting ice cream cone.
Sure.
And MLB nixed it. But it's things like
that. Oh, you can now get that, by the way. They have a custom youth ice cream cone glove now.
What's it called?
It's...
Yeah, I thought there was a name for it. Anyway, there's this guy who used to be a former D1 player, mm-hmm. and he remains anonymous because he says he wants it to be about the art.
Of course.
But he owns the main website where a lot of people are ordering all this, a lot of kids and families are ordering all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all, you know, it's all just showy. I mean, you know, there's no harm in it, but at the same time, of course, you know, we got old men yelling at the clouds that this isn't the game that I grew up with.
Do they even care about baseball?
But the topic that we discussed was how much do we need to put up with for our kids? Like, how much bad stuff do we need to put up with for our kids to like the sports? Like, I mean, we want them because everybody says, baseball's dying. Kids don't want to play baseball. It's too boring.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then they tell you what is interesting to them about baseball.
And then we get mad.
And then we're like, well, not that.
Yeah.
Well, no, you can't have that. If you want them interested in the sport, and it's not all of them, but if you want to get kids hooked, maybe that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is one of those that, look, I can be as old manny yelling at the clouds as anyone else. I mean, the whole Gremlin University thing, but this is what I you got to calm down because it's been 30 years since I was, in high school sports. But I remember when I was playing, man, we had the same, like, Under Armour was just a thing, and like only a handful of kids had it, or wristbands, big neck rolls, kids would buy their own face masks. You know, you had to have the Deion Sanders cleats were a big deal. I mean, this has always been a thing. It's just to the next level. It's just kind of cranking it up. So, dude, every hobby that we have, I was talking to this with a friend of mine the other day. How many hobbies do we have that you actually enjoy the hobby, and how many just because you like to play? It's like cosplay. Look at golfers, right? How many times do you go out to a course and you see a guy that's like a 17 handicap, and like he's dialed in with every golf thing known to
man? He's got his range finder. Well, he's got all the...
Not only that, but golf, we were talking about this with this story, this Little League story. Golf has really kind of gotten into the bro-y...
Yes!
You know, the all these funny little hats and funny shirts. And
the YouTube clicks and crews that are bits. Like doing like new stuff.
Dude,
yeah.
I go to my buddy's a member at a country club, and I go there, and dude, every one of those guys is like, every golf polo now is like $150, and it's all skin tight, and they're all, you know, golf has certainly become a fashion forward thing. Who is it? Jason Day has that one.
Yeah.
He's Malbin.
Yeah. And they're doing all kinds of outrageous bits.
That's working.
Yeah.
He's moving product for them. And everybody laughed at first.
I see people in that stuff when I go to the driving range, when I go to the course.
Everybody laughed at first, but he kept with it.
This stuff is just, it's all cyclical. It's just that, so when you think back to when you played, you had your own version of this. This is just the newest one. I remember when my kid was playing Little League Baseball, it was those necklaces, like I forget what those were called.
I don't remember the name of them, but they were supposed to be like centering your core type thing.
And they were expensive.
They matched your team's
and
jersey.
You had to have one. What were the Nike Elite socks for a while? You were no one if you didn't have Nike Elite. So it's like anything else, man. If you're a little kid and you're playing sports, there's going to be a fashion trend that you're going to want to emulate, whether it's your favorite ball player or some influencer does it. And so I try not to, as dumb as some of that stuff is to me, I try not to be the old man about it, because that's just, it's the ever evolving thing. But I will tell any parent, your kid does not need that stuff in order to to play.
No,
if you can't,
they don't.
If you can't afford it, and I understand that sometimes it's awkward for your kid to be the one left out, but you really don't need to outfit your kid in $1,000 worth of crap in order for that kid to play well.
No, you don't. But at the same time, if that's what is interesting to him or her about the sport,
and if that's the barrier, and you
can
afford it,
and that gets them out there on the field, and then all of a sudden they have a pretty fun season, and they get better, and the coach is good, and all of a sudden they like the sport.
Yes.
So that's a good thing.
Yes. Get your kid, if you, anything that gets your kid off of the couch, along within reason, you know, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But if it gets your kid out from his phone or out from the PlayStation or the computer and gets him outside doing something, I'm all for it.
Yeah, like a hot pink sliding mat.
Well,
nothing says get off my couch.
I mean,
like a hot pink sliding mat. But hey, that's what they like.
I would say the thing I do, like my bike, I do that, like, and I'm a casual bike rider, but I buy stuff for my bike that's merely aesthetic. You know, I'm like, I'll be like, oh, this is cool handlebar tape, or, you know, I'll buy little, you know, little stickers to put on there or whatever. And like, we all do it just to our varying degree. And we just like to, old people like to yell about kids. That is what we do. Ah, damn kids.
All right. We got to get to the club. Shove that straight up your little kid ass. You guys want to do the club?
And it makes me sad.
Let's do the club. I want to hear some Italy stories. Come on.
Yeah, we throw some Italy stories.
I want to hear about some Italy hots.
Yeah. I was robbed.
You were robbed?
I was robbed.
What?
Buried the lead.
By the most considerate thieves of all time. We had our apartment broken into, but...
Oh, no.
In, like, the nicest way possible.
Oh, no.
All right. Tales.
Yeah.
Tales from Italy. Coming up next. Hey, it's Rob sticking around for window.